The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
Game recognized game. Much respect.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
If I was the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, I would have all the guys come in the locker room and say, watch this, and I would play this clip for the team to see.
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win.
Yes! Catch the chicken rock!
What are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for?
That would be inspiring. I'm with you, man. Babcock's got to do something.
Play it again.
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Something's got to give tonight.
It's better him yelling, catch the chicken.
Yeah. You have him catching the chicken.
No,
well, we're not playing Rocky all afternoon.
Yes, we are. We've got to get pumped up.
Dude, I told you, man. You know what? Actually, someone sent in a great one. Braveheart.
Yeah.
Braveheart. When William Wallace is on the horse and they don't believe it's him. And
yeah, but
he's got the face paint on.
I was sent one, too. Pacino in Any Given Sunday.
That's a good one.
We choose to fight back.
They got to do something, man. Like, because it can't be Babcock, because whatever he said through two games has fallen on deaf ears.
Wow.
I say, when in doubt, YouTube in the room.
You
Rocky,
so?
Braveheart, Rudy,
well,
Sunday.
I'll give you a bad story about one. We had a coach in the National Hockey League, and we needed a big win. Like, I feel like his job was on the line. And he had a speech, and then he said, roll the song. And it was Standing Outside the Fire by Garth Brooks, and it was quite emotional. We went out and just got rinsed. Like, I think we lost 5-1. Like, it was off. I felt terrible because I was in net, too. Like, it was just one of those nights. Like, it was just everything went in, and it was just a terrible night. But I remember thinking it was so bad because the team was so emotional going out. We were all excited, you know, standing outside the fire, and people were jacked up. And we went out there and just
you went
got
out and
dummy.
Stood outside the fire?
Yeah, stood outside the rink and watched us get dummied.
Did the guy terrible. Get fired?
It didn't go well for him either.
A quick
yeah.
firing?
Yeah.
How would you guys react if Babcock was mic'd up tonight and he's yelling at Nylander, you got to get the chicken.
What are we waiting for?
He's just yelling
get the
at his
chicken,
team.
Willie. Get the chicken.
Get the chicken,
catch
Willie.
The chicken rock. Grease. You got to be like Grease Lightning.
They got to show up tonight. I mean, that's the understatement of all understatements. It's been very deflating through two games because as good as Boston's been, and they're a very good team. We knew that coming in.
Yeah.
It's the Maple Leafs who haven't shown up. They haven't shown up. They haven't had any pushback. They're nowhere close to showing their true colors. And listen, if it's the end of the road, it's the end of the road. It's been a great season. But don't go out with the kind of effort that you had the first two games.
No.
Like, at the very least, have some bite, have some jam. They need some leadership tonight. I know that's an intangible that gets thrown around a lot, and no one really knows how to define it, but it's got to be the big boys tonight.
Yeah.
Like Austin Matthews in particular, he's the face of the franchise. We all believe he's the future captain. If you're the future captain, you're the captain right now. I mean, everyone knows it behind the scenes, and he's got to be a lot better. Nylander's got to be better. Riley's got to be better. Freddie Anderson's got to be better. You know, we're goofing on Plekanec moving up the lineup. And that's a significant movement in terms of the way this team is built, and we'll see how many minutes he actually gets. But ultimately, you know, he can play great. If the 5 to 7 players ahead of him in terms of minutes don't play great, it will be irrelevant.
Yep, you're right.
They all have to step up way better than they have through two games.
Not too many times in a playoff series do that. As many players on the Leafs need to improve. Like, we're not talking about one defenseman, like, earlier in the season, we're like, you know what, they're rolling right now, but Nikita Zaitsev's got to get his game going. We're talking about the whole, like, I don't know one guy that's played good thus far. Zach Hyman, maybe.
But that's because of energy. Right?
No,
like,
I know.
He gives the
just,
same energy
so
all the time.
There's so many players. There's so many players that need to elevate. And for them to even give themselves a chance, they have to elevate, and they still might not win.
Well, they might not, but that's why there is a part of me that feels better about them losing the way that they've lost as opposed to them putting their best foot forward and still being down 2-0.
Right.
Like, we're glorifying the greatness of the Bruins. They're not this good. They're not. The Leafs have been this bad. The Leafs have been awful through two games. Every bounce has gone the Bruins' way. Every break has gone their way. And...
But, I agree. The Leafs have to be – but the Bruins created a lot of their own breaks by
their
work.
Ron Hainsey and Gardner with muffins up the middle of the ice?
Well, what about
– They created that?
What about David Backes in front of the net just slapping around the defenseman for a goal?
That was game one.
The Brusque kid in front of the net just, I'm standing here. I'll just
tip challenged.
No, Not even close.
What I'm saying is off of their forecheck. You're right. Like, breaks absolutely have gone the Bruins' way, but they've created a lot by the one Achilles heel, and that has been all season long the defensive core have not been up to par, let's say.
But they've been better than this.
Absolutely.
Like, this is an exposure at a level that
I expect more out of Morgan Riley. I expect more out of Ryan Hayes. Right down the line.
They're better
than
this.
They are better than that. You're right.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How are you feeling about the game tonight?
Well, I don't think it would be hard to imagine they're going to play much better than they did in Boston. That would be hard to be like that again. I mean, of course they're better than this. They had 100 points. Kadri being out of the lineup doesn't mean that, Pastrnak gets to skate all over the place and dance defensemen all over the place. Like one guy can't mean that much. They were better in game two than game one, but it feels like they're down three, but really they just lost the first two games. This is where series are funny, like you can feel miles away from it. And if you win tonight and everything's just fine, you're back in the ball game.
Ray, if you could pick four or five important players for the Leafs, how would you put them on a list of importance for performance tonight?
I would say Riley won. They can't win if their defense plays like that again.
No question.
Matthews 2, Marner 3, Zaitsev, I don't know what to expect from him, Gardner 4.
Freddie?
Yeah. You know what? He might be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
That can't be. Whether he's got bad breaks or whatever you want to call them, or, that was a tough one. Look at the game I did last night. Jonathan Quick's had an amazing series. He gave up a crappy goal to James Neal.
Yeah.
And they can't get it back. Like, unfortunately, the position you play, Noodles, is the most unfair position. Because you can make 93 saves and give up the 94th one through your legs, and people will talk about that's a bad goal. Anderson cannot give up a bad goal tonight. And he's given up far too many bad goals for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, this goes well beyond these first two games. I mean, we were kind of preparing for it because of the way he looked, but he played well against Montreal to wrap up the season.
Right.
And he played okay against New Jersey. And the thought was, okay, he's been there, he's done this, he's a veteran guy. And the first game, his play kind of got overlooked because there were just so many other storylines that people were focused on.
Right.
And then he shows up in game two and he gives up 3 goals on 5 shots and he's out. And the game is over. So he didn't even get an opportunity at redemption. Like, redemption starts for him tonight, but you're right. I mean, he cannot give up a bad goal. And the truth is, they don't have the ability to feel like they can have a moral victory tonight. Like, it doesn't matter how you win. You have to win. Even if you get drastically outplayed, you've got to win. It doesn't mean anything tonight. If you play great and you dominate possession and you lose, you've wasted that opportunity with the way you played the first two games. It's a must win. I think they have to win both at home, game 3 and game 4.
Well, I'll give you an example here. So L.A. played their best game of the series last night, and they lost, and they're in a 40-foot hole.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter that they played well. I mean, for the most part, L.A. played their best game of the series.
Yeah.
And good, you get a pat on the back, and you're down 3-0. And Toronto can't, like, Toronto can't take penalties.
No.
For sure. I mean, I don't know what's happened to their penalty kill, but it's not been just this series. It's, again, it's been, it leaked back into the regular season. It's like the wheels are off. They can't kill anything. And so, don't take any penalties.
Yeah, you're right, Ray. But that's, you know, in talking about in the penalty kill and some of the details of the game, I mean, you just said it last night. L.A. had a big push, and I thought Marc-Andre Fleury was brilliant. So he had the answers. Hayes has been talking about the Maple Leafs can have an unreal game tonight, and Tuukka Rask stands on his head, and you're still chasing it. So you got to find a way to break through. The moral victories have to be thrown out the window.
But if Rask has a great night tonight, man, it's just, you know, you can't do anything about that. Your guy better have a great night tonight. Like the that's where I think the toughest part of the playoffs is not to try and look at a bigger picture. Is, you know, like, nothing else matters to Freddie Anderson than stopping the first shot. And then don't think about, oh, I got to play a great game. Stop the first shot. Stop the second shot. Like, just slowly trudge along. And because what I've noticed, like, I'm standing on the ice here between the benches for the series, and I can't tell you what the difference it feels like down there. It's like everything is 1,000 miles an hour. Even when guys are changing and they're yelling at each other, and guys are on the same team are yelling at each other because, you know, get off the ice. You're, you know, like, there's so much intensity, and it's pretty easy for the game to get out of control, go too fast for you. And Toronto just has to trudge along no matter what happens. Just trudge along and play a good shift, play another good shift. Don't let Boston take over chunks of the game where it feels like you're just getting caved in.
Well, that top line has been unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
I mean, 20 points in 2 games. I've never seen anything like that.
That's not bad. 2 games for Pasternak, 9 points.
What a slick set of hands he's got, eh?
You should see the brutal tape job this guy has. I was down in their locker room, and I grabbed his stick.
Did you see it?
It's like a Bobby Orr special. Not even attached together, 3 rows of tape, and then it's just, I'll go out and do whatever I want. Little nose picker curve on it.
Luke, I sat next to Luke Robitaille in L.A., and I'm watching him tape his stick, and there were gaps between the tape. Like, they weren't, as you say, they weren't lined up together.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, Luke's got 600 goals. And I'm like, hey, Luke, man, your tape job looks crappy. It's like big gap between the tape. And he goes, yeah, it's a big puck. But he didn't even care. I'm over there trying to make it look perfect,
I know.
Right?
Mine had to be, pristine.
Like didn't it have to look right?
Oh, it had to be beautiful.
Like, he did it with a blindfold.
Yeah. This guy's got the worst tape job in the NHL, and he's got the best set of hands.
9 points in 2 games, and it looks like Thomas Plekanec is going to get the assignment tonight. How confident are you in that?
Your boy.
Yeah, this is why they got him.
I would play Austin Matthews against him, but yeah. I'm not the coach.
I'm with you, Ray. I said that earlier. I would love to hear about this after the game, that Matthews stormed into Babcock's office and said, give me the matchup. Give me Bergeron tonight.
Okay, so again, I'm doing this series. Who's playing against Andrei Kopitar? William Karlsson. Nose to nose.
Yeah.
Their best line against their best line. We keep hearing from Babcock all season long about what a great 200-foot player Austin Matthews is. Then play them against them.
Yeah, and you know what, Ray? If it doesn't work out, in the future, it's going to make Austin Matthews figure out, this is what I'm up against. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to play through. This is the kind of line that I'm going to have to outperform for the Maple Leafs to get where they want to go.
Say they're going to play Plekanec with Marner. I think that's what they're doing, right?
Right.
It'll be a smoke show.
Why not play him against Krejci?
Well, you got home ice. You can do basically whatever you want for the most part.
But from what I understand, that line's put in the, you know, that unless they're going to play Matthews against Bergeron, and it doesn't matter what I say right now, but that's what I would do. I would play Plekanec against the lesser line for sure. I mean, you can't check like you used to check. You check by keeping the puck in the other zone now.
Right.
Before, you used to grab onto the guy's sweater and follow him around, and then when he got near the puck, you just tackled him. And, of course, that doesn't work anymore. So I just don't understand that thought, that's your – clearly the Marlowe defender thing wasn't working or wasn't going to work in Babcock's head. You know, like to leave him in the middle. And this is, I guess, their next best option.
Well, I mean, it obviously highlights the importance of Nazem Kadri, but that's a moot point. He's not showing up tonight, and he's not going to show up on Thursday. We threw this around earlier. Duthie was here. I think Duthie actually threw it out, so it might lead SportsCenter tonight. If you were Mike Babcock and somehow a genie came to you and said, we can guarantee you the Bergeron line is going to have two goals tonight, but that's it. Two goals tonight. Would you sign off on that, or would you gamble that you can keep it less than that?
But are anybody else on Boston going to score?
Well, maybe. Yeah, the rest of the team just plays. But Bergeron line, they're getting two tonight. Would you take it, or would you have to gamble and hope that you can keep them to one or none?
No, you got to gamble. I've been in Vegas for 5 days. You're there to gamble.
Yeah, I think you have to, too. But think about it. That's how good this line's been that it's even a conversation.
It is, but I'm gambling because keeping that to two, there's no guarantee that other line, like Krejci's a hell of a player. Like
Rick Nash has looked good, too.
Like Rick Nash looks like Rick Nash from 10 years ago. Like he's having a time out there.
And Riley Nash is back, and I know that doesn't move the needle. He's had a terrific year.
Yeah,
like
he's a good
player.
Their
third line all of a sudden... That's going to be a handful. You know, you move Backus back to right wing, that's a handful. I guess the fact is Boston's just really good, and Toronto's going to have to be closer to their best, way closer to their best than they have been. But Noodles, you started out just before I came on, you were talking about the defense.
Yeah.
It's been a weak spot all year. Zaitsev's been nowhere near even in the neighborhood of how he played last year. You've got a kid in Dermott. It's not a great defense. Ron Hainsey looks, I don't know if he looks out of gas or what, but holy smokes, he's had tough two games.
All the penalty really killing tough. Throughout the season has just destroyed him. It's killed him. He's dead.
You heard it here first. That's exclusive. He's dead.
Honestly, he can't skate. He cannot move out there. And right. He tries to play every minute of every penalty kill. And it is the craziest thing I think I've seen since I started covering the game for a living. Like, you cannot stay out there for 2 minutes if you're Ron Hainsey. He's not Nick Lidstrom or Chris Pronger.
Well, nobody else in the league does it.
Yeah, so why does he? I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe they need Mick to take him out and chase the chicken.
Play it, Mulls. Listen, Ray.
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win.
What are we waiting for? Take it!
That's what Babcock's pregame speech is going to be tonight.
Okay. First of all, Mick was one hell of a trainer.
Yeah.
God, he was the best. He
catch the chicken.
So you need to something lightning and crap thunder.
Yeah.
So we're in Atlanta. We're playing Pittsburgh, and Jay Leach was one of our assistant coaches. And the movie Gladiator had just come out. He came in to do our pregame talk dressed as a gladiator.
Oh my God.
And he said, whatever comes out of that door, we're going to be ready for it. Oh, my God. It was one of the funniest pregame meetings. You couldn't even look at him and not laugh. He had, like, the shin guard things on and the chest plate. And it was – I don't know where the hell he got the helmet, too. We're like, what are you doing? But that was the T-Bombs. We won 14 games that year. So.
Yeah.
Noodles said one of his assistant coaches played a song. What was the movie? Or?
No, we were...
Garth Brooks?
We played Standing Outside the Fire by Garth Brooks.
And they went out and got waxed.
We went out, and it was quite emotional. He made
a
big
in Long Island.
I didn't want to bring it up, right?
I know who it was.
But do you remember that? He played the song before we went out, and he was on his last legs as a coach, and then... We got rinsed that night. I do remember that.
I'll tell you one other speech I remember. We were in the middle, as we've talked about, that series we lost to the Rangers in three, but they made us play the fourth game.
Yes.
And before game three or four, I don't remember. Noodles, you might remember. Keith Acton got up, and he gave like Keith was right at the end of his career, and he gave a really impassioned speech. And he got up and he was talking about that. You know, you got to give everything you've got. Don't leave anything in. And but he got up and he was walking around and he took off his elbow pads. And so I asked him after. I'm like, we called him Woody. And I'm like, Woody, why were you taking your gear off? And he goes, man, I was so worked up. My elbow pads were so tight. My arms were hurting. We thought like he was going to throw them or something, but it was just his arms were tired. And then we went out and lost 6-1 or something. Yeah. I don't know. What was 5-2, Noodles? Whatever.
We lost 6-0 the first game, 6-0 the second game, 5-2. We climbed back in.
Nice.
The third game, and then 5-2 the last game as they swept us and said goodbye and went and won the Stanley Cup, and we went home.
Sean Hill had a great speech for the Ottawa Senators. They lost like 20 games in a row, and he said, guys, we're not that bad. It's just a really good league. That really got the troops rallied in Ottawa. It's a really good league. We're not that bad.
You can YouTube this thing. It's the anniversary in 2008. I just saw something today. The Senators were down 2-0 to Pittsburgh, and they brought this gladiator guy, and he came out on the ice to fire up the crowd. And so he's an actor. I don't know who figured it out. Oh, we'll bring this guy up here or whatever. So he goes out there, and his microphone was shorting out. You can see it on YouTube. And so he's yelling the gladiator speech, but all the words are muted out. And there's an article in the paper today. Mike Commodore was there, and he was talking about it, being like, everyone's like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, is this what it's come to? Like, it was the most embarrassing thing.
Oh, when you have something elaborate planned and it doesn't get executed, you look and feel like such an idiot.
Yeah.
And whoever was responsible for it is going to have to pay a price.
I'm watching it on YouTube right now. It's in 2008. Ottawa Senators.
Did you see when the gladiator guy walks through the players? They're all standing in the hallway like, what the hell is this guy doing?
They can't believe it's the National Hockey League. They cannot believe it's the NHL.
Well, he looked in pretty good shape, I will say that.
If they came back and won the series, maybe the Leafs should be doing that tonight.
No, they got pumped.
Okay. Speaking of Pitt, I'm watching Crosby, and whenever I see him put on a clinic the way that he's put on a clinic, I immediately go back to our top 50 players in the NHL debate before the season in September, where everyone puts forth their list, and I'm pretty sure I had McDavid 1. And McDavid's unbelievable. Everybody knows that. But like, Sid has won back-to-back Conn Smythe, and look at what he's doing through three games.
Yeah, he's
like,
ridiculous.
Look at the clinic he's putting on in Philly. Like, this guy, he's not normal. Like, and I don't know where he ranks all time when the legacy conversation doesn't apply to him the way it does to LeBron James, his counterpart in the NBA.
He's the hardest working best player that's ever played the game. Like, you know, of all the people that have been labeled the best player, he is the hardest working best player in hockey.
Right. He does things that, like, he's so powerful. And you're like, oh, like, other guys just can't do what he does. The goal he scored yesterday, the one where he went around the back of the net, like, he sniffed that little area out, and then he's like, oh, I got to go around the net. And he beat everybody to the other side. Like, I don't know. He's been amazing for, I don't know, for a month now, I guess. He's just, looks like he can't be stopped.
Oh, uses a straight hockey stick, too.
Boy, he's got that backhand, right?
How about Brian Elliott in goal there? Ooh.
That's
been a tough one.
Tough go.
Well,
allergies going again.
If you're Pitt, you're looking at Washington, and you're thinking, we're going through Philly and Columbus to a conference final. I mean, you got to be thinking, like, Pittsburgh's probably sitting there thinking, why can't we go to three straight cup finals?
Yeah.
Like, why not?
That's that Philly series has been so crazy. I don't know what the hell's going to happen in game four. But, man, they look like they look like a team that could get on a roll here. And you're right, if Columbus beats poor Washington, man, they hit the crossbar right at the end there. Carlson hits the bar, and you're like, they just can't win. I don't know what it is. They just can't.
No, that's a killer, man. Two overtimes, like back-to-back OT at home, and you know how that fan base is. We experienced it last year when the Leafs went up 2-1 after Game 3. They were freaking out, and they're expecting them to fail. They're expecting them to lose in the second round of Pittsburgh, though, not the first round of Columbus.
Well, if they don't get by Columbus, then you know for sure Barry Trotz is on the market.
Yeah, he's done.
I think that Grubauer should not have started last game.
No kidding.
And
Holpe's going game three,
right? Noodles or game one?
Game two.
Game two for sure. I would have gone with Holtby in a short leash from game one, but I didn't mind that Grubauer got game one. But game two, when he got pulled, I would have gone back with Holtby. And the thing is Washington was the better team yesterday, but Bobrovsky's thrown on his head. Like, it was ridiculous. It was almost like the Vegas game against Jonathan Quick. It was just Quickie did everything he could to keep L.A. in that game, game two, and then he just ran out of gas. Same thing, like, Bobrovsky did stand on his head last night. He delivers the win, and Calvert scores a one-hander in overtime. And
well, just think, though, Bobrovsky's playoff numbers have been crap.
Yes.
And this is really the first series where you go, oh, that's the Vezina Trophy, Bobrovsky.
Right.
Like, Jay and Dan must love this.
Oh, they're all over it. Their Instagram account, that's all they're posting about.
Well, that and the Brett Connolly thing, handing the puck to that poor little girl, eh?
Yeah, three times. He was ready to kill the dad. Like, he was looking at the dad. He's like, are you crazy? Stop handing it
what
to
the... What a hero that guy was, eh?
Oh, my God. Here you go, son. Here you go, son. Oh, the daughter? Yeah, I guess so. Round three. Figure your life out.
The look on her face was awesome.
That was great.
Well,
she was about ready to give it to somebody, and then she just crumbled. And then of course, good for Connolly to stay with it.
Yeah, he had to keep going back. He had to make sure he picked a winner there. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. Enjoy it out there in L.A., and we'll get you back here tomorrow at 5, and we'll break down whatever happened in Game 3.
Yeah, I hope it's better than Games 1 and 2. Man, that was the Game 2 one was hard to even get my head around. It was over before he even really sat down and got settled into the game.
Yep, 10 minutes in, it was done.
Yeah, so hopefully better tonight. We'll get a look. Have a good one, boys.
All right, there he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. It's Game 3 tonight. Pre-game at 6:30. The puck drop is at 7. Don't forget, TSN 1050 will be at the Pint tonight for Game 3. Come and experience the playoff atmosphere. You can even leave with a pair of tickets to Game 4 tonight at the Pint. That's 277 Front Street West. Bob McKenzie will join us around the table in the 6 p.m. hour. Again, the pregame in about an hour with the Tapman and Greg Gilbert. It is Maple Leaf game night. Game 3, the first one at the ACC. We're live from the ACC. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. This is what was playing, the soundtrack of Rudy Rudiker.
See, I liked the movie, but I was kind of hoping that he got ran right over.
The guy stunk. He wasn't even good. How can that be motivating?
He had the heart of a lion. He was 5'5", like 140 pounds. He took a beating in practice.
That's what we're going to figure out tonight. And you know my theory about the size of the heart. What is it? Heart of a moose or a heart of a rat?
That's right. Well, it's been rat-like through two games for the home side, let's be honest. It has not been good, and we need the moose to show up tonight.
We need a moose
We
call.
Need a giant moose.
It feels like this city was hit by a giant moose all weekend with the ice storm being what it was.
Dude, I'm telling you, there's some videos circulating. Do not be walking around downtown. There are sheets of ice falling on sidewalks.
Do you want to hear like a really scary story here?
Yeah.
If you're going to the Jays game tonight, turn around and go home because it sounds like it's postponed. They're going to play a doubleheader tomorrow. because the roof, like the there were holes in the roof, there were leaks, all this kind of stuff, and there are significant concerns about ice falling off the CN Tower and potentially landing on people. But I'm reading this tweet courtesy of Keegan Matheson, who tweeted this out about an hour ago. Scary moment for the Royals last night. Kansas City flew in last night. One of their two buses was hit with a large chunk of ice on their drive in from the airport. The windshield shattered. The driver sustained cuts to the face, and Blaine Boyer helped take the wheel. He went Kramer and jumped on the wheel until they got the bus stopped. Could you imagine being on a bus and the windshield shatters and you got to jump up because the busy is completely out of sorts?
And especially the landscape right now with the Humboldt tragedy with the bus crash. I mean, that's just crazy.
That is. I mean, that's how bad it was all weekend. I mean, the ice in this city, the ice storm, they were calling for it. And a lot of times they get too carried away with warnings and they freak people out, right? It's scare tactics.
That one was legit.
And this was legit.
I think a lot of people, if you didn't have to go out, like a lot of people hunkered down.
I was planning on going to the Raptors game on Saturday night. I did not go and they won. I want to point that out.
Okay.
You were calling me a lunatic last weekend when I was debating whether or not I should even go.
Yeah, but now you missed out on them winning.
I know, but still, maybe if I was there, anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I was hoping to go to the game and then meeting a bunch of buddies downtown.
Right.
I think we were going to the Pint, 277 Front Street West, and I pulled the chute.
Yeah.
I did not leave my house all weekend. Pulled the chute.
Well, you've got your Raptors win, and then the Leafs got rinsed.
I now have in my possession the second motivational clip that Mike Babcock should play for the Leafs. Hit it, Mulls.
What are you standing still with some feet? Can't you catch your little chicken? Huh? Come on. Move your tail. Move your tail.
Catch the chicken, Rock. Catch the chicken.
Calls him like, he's like, I need your greasy fast lightning or...
Why is he never in a good mood? Like, he's not even in a room temperature mood.
Yeah, he was...
Even keeled. He's always mad.
Who was more angry, Lieutenant Dan or Mick?
I think Mick.
I think Lieutenant Dan was down in the dumps when he couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, but
then he got new pins. Remember, he showed up and he had new legs. He was wheeling around.
Lieutenant Dan had a reason for having an attitude. The guy was in Vietnam.
He got his
legs. He
shot
lost
off.
His legs.
But then
is just hanging out in boxing halls in Philly and he's rattled all the time.
But people don't realize that Lieutenant Dan ended up ultra wealthy because he invested in Apple.
Like, is that right?
Yeah, that's at the end. Like, you don't realize?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Lieutenant Dan shows up. He's got legs. Remember, he's like, Lieutenant Dan, you got legs.
I do not remember that part.
But he ended up investing. Forrest and him in like Apple.
Well, in between games 2 and 3, let's hope the Maple Leafs pulled the Lieutenant Dan and invested in whatever they have to invest
in. What type of stock, exactly, to make it go through the roof.
Go Lloyd Christmas tonight and totally redeem themselves because they got the spotlight. I mean, they were going to have it anyway, but the Jays game being postponed, people might have been on their way downtown to see that. You got to think the bars around the ACC and the Dome are probably pretty happy about it. And it's all about what we've been talking about throughout the afternoon. I mean, the understatement of all understatements is they're going to play better, and tonight's a must win. But there's a lot of nervous energy in the city.
There's two different philosophies. You've talked to two different people or fans throughout the day. One is they're too good of a team to not have a performance in Game 3. And the other one is from people that were in Boston is they showed nothing that they will come back and have an effort tonight.
They showed nothing in Boston.
No, they did.
Nothing
so they did
Boston.
Nothing to make you think that they're going to turn it around tonight. But the home crowd being at home, you saw what the Minnesota Wild did against the Winnipeg Jets. And the Winnipeg Jets dummied them in Winnipeg.
Did. The scores the scores weren't as outlandish as they were in Boston. But
they
play
manhandled
was.
Them.
Winnipeg manhandled Minnesota.
And they came back, and I think they had a 6-2 victory last night.
They did last night. They played really well. And Winnipeg, naturally, Winnipeg loses, and they're like, we didn't have our best game. Or maybe Minnesota finally showed up and pushed back.
The biggest thing is you're right, Minnesota did show up and push back. But, like, that's I think Winnipeg wins game 4. Like, I think it was an off night for them, whereas I don't think Minnesota had off nights like the Leafs did. Winnipeg just dummied them, where Boston was outstanding, and they deserve full credit. But the Leafs didn't play up to their potential.
Well, this
will
challenge if momentum exists, if you believe in momentum, because you know this has been an age-old topic in the sports world. Does it even matter what happened in the previous two games? Now, player personnel does. Right. Kadri ain't showing up tonight. Nazem mm-hmm. Kadri is not available, and by all accounts, Thomas Plekanec is going to move up the lineup. That's a terrifying proposition, but it's more than likely a reality. But they wouldn't be the first team to storm back from 2-0. And don't forget what happened 5 years ago. They were down 3-1 against Boston.
Right.
They were down 3-1 against Boston, and they won Game 5 in Boston, Game 6 at home, and they pushed it to 7. We all know what happened in 93.
Right.
We've been pumping the tires of that team for 25 years based on them going down 2-0 in Detroit. They came back, and they won that in 7. It's not impossible, and quite frankly, the Bruins, they've because of what happened in 2013, because of what's happened through the first two games, this feels like David versus Goliath, but it's on the Maple Leafs to prove to themselves, first and foremost, that they believe they can win the series.
Right.
I mean, I do think there's no denying it based on what happened in Boston. The Bruins have a psychological edge over them, and that top line in particular. Like, those three are walking on water right now. The way Pasternak, Marchand, and Bergeron absolutely torched Toronto in two games.
They have to be ultra confident. They
have to be.
Yeah.
But it's on the Maple Leafs to steal that confidence.
They haven't come close to... When you get a situation in a matchup that's just you dominate, you love going on the ice. You're like, look at the time and space I'm getting. Some of the goals and plays that Pasternak is making are... Redonk. They're video game goals.
Because look at the time he's got.
No kidding.
Like, he's got all the time in the world. That's got to be just eating away at Babcock as he reviews the tape. It's one thing for a guy to torch you and pay a price. He hasn't paid a price at all.
Nothing.
Nothing. No. They haven't even touched him.
No, sir.
But, you know, that speaks to how quick Boston has been on the forecheck and how poor they've defended in their own zone. It goes both ways. That's the way I see it. And you know, Boston has to at least play consistent, and the Leafs have to, for me, go through the roof. And it's not even go crazy with effort. It's smart effort. That's the thing that bothers me. You can make it like you're working very hard. Zach Hyman works hard every shift. Shift in and shift out. Doesn't cheat you for effort. But you have to have some form of execution and plan in place. And to me, I don't know, too many times in the first two games, the Leafs looked disjointed. They looked like they're, okay, what are we doing next? What? They were reacting instead of playing, and a lot of that is because Boston was forcing the pace and pushing their D back and changing sides on the forecheck where the Leafs didn't have an answer for it. But you can't be disjointed. They've played 82 games and had success.
You're National Hockey League players.
But they to me, they just looked unconfident and unsure with the puck when that was part of their strength this year was handling the
puck. Well, and especially against that top line. I mean, that's what we've been talking about throughout the afternoon. That's the most obvious thing that you've got to accomplish tonight. You cannot let those three guys torch you.
Right.
Because if they do, it doesn't matter what everyone else does. If they account for 6 goals tonight, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Exactly.
You cannot allow them to basically hex the Maple Leafs the way that they have. It's like they have a some sort of psychological mojo that they've placed on the Maple Leafs, because you look at Ron Hainsey and Jake Gardner, the way they turned the pucks over on Saturday night when those players were on the ice. I don't believe they do that against the third or fourth line.
No.
I think they're terrified of what these guys are going to do to them.
But here,
and I don't know how you stop that. I don't know how you change your mentality going into the game tonight.
Well, the Bruins have quite simply just made them play in their own zone. So do you remember the game against Winnipeg the Saturday night near the end of the season? Winnipeg showed that when they went head-to-head against Austin Matthews, what's the best defense against him? Make those guys play in their own zone. Easier said than done, but when Austin Matthews has to defend and battle for position down low and be strong in front of his net, what he's not doing is getting speed through the neutral zone and being dangerous in the offensive zone.
We haven't seen that at all. I mean, that's when he's at the height of his game, when he's dancing through the neutral zone.
Right, but the Bruins have afforded him Zero time and space. Same thing with Marner. Every time he's tried to dance, closed on him. And physical.
Well,
same thing with Nylander.
How many times have you watched them through two games, Matthews and Nylander in particular, dying to get off the ice? Like that, the body language where they're like, please let me end this shift.
Yeah, let's
like,
get,
let me get off the ice
be
here.
Fine. Yep.
And that's got to stop. Bob McKenzie will join us around the table at 6 p.m. Don't forget the pregame begins right here on TSN 1050 at 6:30. Puck drop at 7. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. Game 3, Leafs-Bruins right here on TSN Radio. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board tonight, I'm going to avoid betting the Maple Leaf game. I don't have a feel for it. I mean,
yeah,
I'm skeptical based on what happened the past two games, but they're back home. They've had a great home record all year,
yeah,
especially down the stretch. They only lost, I think, two games at home over the final three months of the year. But we're talking about the Leafs all afternoon. I'll pass on betting on that game tonight, but right. I will take the top seeds. I mean, what has been proven here early, we always talk about how a lot of people would like them to return to 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7.
Right.
The only true 1 versus 8 that you get is if you're the top seed and you play the second wild card team.
Right.
And there's a reason you battle it out all year to end up with that top seed. Look what's happening with Tampa and Jersey right now, and Nashville, yeah, and Colorado. And I think that continues. I got Tampa tonight. I got Nashville tonight. I have not liked what I've seen out of Anaheim.
Yeah.
I think I'm going San Jose tonight.
Really?
I think I'm leaning towards the Sharks tonight.
Anaheim lost both games in their own building. Now they're in San Jose.
Now they're going home. Yeah. Ugly scene for Randy Carlyle and company. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. As the Raptors look to take a 2-0 series lead tomorrow at the ACC, TSN 1050 wants to put you and a friend inside the building, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Here's how you enter. Follow TSN 1050 on Instagram, like our latest giveaway post, and tag the friend you'd bring to the game. A winner will be announced tomorrow morning on Landsberg in the Morning. Again, on Instagram at TSN 1050, brought to you by our friends at Skip the Dishes. Final half hour up next. Bob McKenzie will join us to help tee it up. Big game 3 tonight down here at the ACC. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.